I'd like to thank y'all once again for allowing me to do this and give another opportunity to stand up here, give out God's word, and y'all prayed for me today. And this is I've not done this very much, and especially in the youth revival. Of course, the word needs to be preached anytime and anywhere, and for the lost, for sure. And today has been on my heart for a long time. And I mean by that is not just today on Saturday, as in today was yesterday, the day before that. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Today is the day, and it's the only day. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tonight. We're not promised to go to Barry and Lisa's here in a little while. If it, God willing, that we go. And I got saved, I don't know what year it was, but it was on March the 30th at the youth revival. So it's a big blessing for me to preach the youth revival. But how beautiful was today? It was rainy and thundering and lightning. But it's so beautiful today for these lost sinners. Lost sinners, today might be the only chance you get to have God in your heart. If you're sitting there worried and wondering, and all you got on your mind is getting out of church, going to Barry and Lisa's, to eat pizza, to play, well, I'm praying for you. Because we might not make it. We might not have tomorrow, and we might not have another hour. Jesus said he comes to the thief of the night. You know what that means? That means you don't know when he's coming. But he's coming. He is coming, and when he does, lost sinner, you won't be there with me. I'll be going up in them clouds of glory, and you will be sitting here. Lord knows what's going to happen. I know what won't happen. You won't be in the same place as me. I got saved back there in the back, in that last pew, on a Saturday night. My testimony is my testimony. And I thank God for my testimony because it's mine. It's not the same as y'all's. It's not the same as his. But it's mine and it's special. I got a time and a place. And I know where I got it. And I know what I felt. And I know I got it. And it was peace in your heart. Peace with God. And that's a hard thing to understand and realize because nobody's ever seen peace. Everybody talks about world peace, peace, peace. It's hard to see that because there's never been world peace. It's hard to describe the word peace. But when you get that feeling, it's not hard to describe it in here because you know what that feeling is. And when you get that peace, that's all. That's the end. That's just what it is. It's peace in your heart. And lost sinner, I feel for you today. I woke up this morning. I got some beautiful news. I've been tore up all morning. And I ain't never felt like it. Coming to church and being in church, loving this church and having the love for me that y'all give me has made me something more special than I've ever been. I love coming here. I love seeing it. Brother Jeff, he gets me in hard places sometimes. I thought I was going to preach tonight because that Wednesday night, I think it was, we left, and he said that TJ's going to preach Friday night, and I was going to preach, he's going to preach Saturday morning because there ain't going to be a lot of people here, and I was going to preach Saturday night, and there'd be a lot of people, and then he called me back, and he said, well, do you want to preach Saturday morning? He said, there might not be a lot of people there. You know what the first thing hit me? I hope there's a bunch of people there. I hope there's more people than there was Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday night combined. It don't matter how many people's here. I hope there's a whole thousand of you. Just to sit here and listen for me just a while, I ain't no good for nothing but dirt. But I ask God to help me, to give me the words I need to say. But I just thought today was so pretty. Even though it's raining and thundering and lightning, I just thought it was so pretty. Because God gave us another day to get on our knees and pray and ask God to help him. Ask him to help us. Ask him to do something for him. For the sinners to get on their knees. Wherever you at, you ain't got to be on your knees, do you, Tasha? You ain't got to get over here on the altar. I know that. I'll say back there. You can get down at your own seat anywhere you need to and get salvation as long as you get there with God and get it in your own heart that he's the only one you need, that he's the only one there is, and you'll be saved. Believe it within your own heart, with all your heart. That was my testimony. My testimony is I had to believe in God with my own heart, deep down in my heart, with all my heart, that he would save me. Amen. That's my testimony. And it was hard for me to believe that I could get this feeling called peace, which is a hard thing to see because we ain't never seen peace in our eyes. But we felt it in our heart. And that peace is so beautiful. It's just the most special thing there is in this world. I told Corey this morning, that's the only gift you're ever going to have that's going to matter anything to you. This world won't offer you anything. It'll offer you everything, but it won't be no meaning to it. You ain't going to have it at the end, just like he preached on Lazarus last night. He didn't have nothing. The beggar, he had everything. Not Lazarus, the rich man and the beggar, he didn't have nothing, and the beggar had everything. In the end, he had it all. And the rich man, he was in hell. Didn't have nothing. All that money, all them houses, whatever he had, he didn't have nothing. But he was living in hell. But anyways, my thought that come to me was today. What today is and believing today. And if you look in the... Y'all listen for me for a little bit and just pay attention. Give me your heart and your eyes and your ears and just listen to this for a little bit. And in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, we're going to read a little bit here. Paul, he's saying to the Hebrews here, he said, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with the generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear, this is God now. I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, if you look over here, this is my thought here. If you look over in Numbers, when Moses was carrying his children out of Egypt, they went into the, he was headed to Canaan land. That was the promised land. Just like we have a promised land today, which is in heaven. They had a promised land, and that's Canaan land. And they went over there to, before they got there, he sent out 12 spies. And when he sent out the 12 spies, they went over there in the land of Canaan, and they went and got fruit and brought them back fruit and come back and gave them Moses a report. And when they come back and gave them the report, listen to what they said. I got this marked here. Let's see, Numbers chapter 13, 21. Now, you got to remember now, Moses brought them out of Egypt. God did. God brought them out of Egypt by Moses. And when he brought them out, you just imagine all the suffering and the pain that they went through. They were slaves. They were slaves by the Pharaoh, whipped every day, all day long, and just hurting and beaten and worked for nothing. But to build whatever the Pharaoh was building and to build his temples and to believe in his gods. So of course, Moses, he went and got and all them plagues. And I mean, just a lot of things just went horrible bad for these children of Egypt there, of Israel. And when he did, he brought them out. And of course, he went through the Red Sea, and God parted the sea for them and went on dry land. At that, you think about dry land. Can you walk on dry land in the water? I ain't never seen that before. But you just seeing all these miracles. You take this in place to you today. Kids, y'all listen. You take all these pretty things you have today. You wake up in the morning, you go to school. Well, that's a little rough. But you come home, you got all this toys, you got all this right here, you got your phones, you got everything. God has given you all kinds of stuff. Made your day's blessings, brings you to a church, got a family, mom and daddies. Some do, some don't. Don't get me wrong there. But what y'all don't see is that God has given y'all this. If it wasn't for God, y'all wouldn't have nothing. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here sitting over at Amen Corner enjoying the rest of my life in this church. You know where I would be? I'm about to tell you where I would be. Out there in the wilderness, in this world, doing God knows what. And because of me, in my own heart, and I've been saved, and I thank God every day that I got saved, because we do mess up. We do mess up. I mess up every day. I ain't no good for nothing, but I do mess up every day. I get mad. I walked into the garage yesterday. I accidentally tripped over one of my jacks, and I kicked it plumb to the wall. I go, Lord, is that all I got to worry about, that little jack to get mad at? And I got to preach this Saturday. I went over there and set it back up. Just something so simple and easy to get mad over. But anyways, a couple years ago, y'all have heard me tell this plenty of times, I wasn't in the right mind. Not that I was sick or psychotic. I just wasn't right up here, and definitely I was right in here, but the feeling was gone. As in, I wasn't close to God. Jesus didn't leave me. I never lost my salvation, but I wasn't close to him as I was. And I kept furthering away from him, and on and on and on, until one day I went over in the woods, and I got down because I had enough of my life just being rough. And I got down wherever it was, beside a tree, I don't know where it was. But I told God, plain and day, you can take every bit of this from me. And I didn't mean the sorrow and the aching. I meant he could take everything from me that sits back there on that roll, and I meant it with all my heart. You can take that from me as long as you turn me around. I said, you can have it. Look at me now. I'm in a church that loves me. I'm in a church that preaches the right gospel, a great preacher, a great family. And what was wrong with me? I didn't see what God done for me. I never had that in my mind, and I thought Dusty Rowland done it all. But y'all listen to this. So Moses, he went and gathered up these spies, and they went into the mountain, to the Canaan here. And when they came back, they gave them a report about what the place was like. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now Caleb, he's seen what God did. As in, he's seen God's work. He's been there, and he believes it with all his heart that they can possess this land, even though how big they are. Big and strong. I'll tell you about giants here in a little bit and what they thought of themselves. He believed that they could do that. Well, it'd be hard not to believe a big old sea going, or however he parted it. That'd be hard not to believe that. Well, but the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. Here it comes. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up all the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." They already getting scared. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Well, they already got scared because of who's there. I don't know if they was giants. They said they was giants. I don't know how big they were, but they got scared because they knew, they seen who they were and all their walls and just everything. They were scared to even go get this land. It's scary to walk up here. It's scary to get down and pray. It's scary when somebody comes over here and says, "Are you lost? Do you want to go up here? Do you want to bow down here and pray?" It's scary. But I'm going to tell y'all, in the end, it's going to be even worse. I'd rather get scared a little bit, just like Tasha said. Get scared a little bit and take that first step. And when you take that first step, right, Jake? You take that first step and you'll get up there as fast as you can. And you might not get up there as fast as you can. You want to go even faster. But that first step is all it takes. And God will help you up here. Did you see me that day I walked up here? I didn't know I was going to do that. I am not a person to stand in front of anybody, especially right up here and say, "Look at me, look at me." I am not that kind of person. But I did. And I stood up, and I was already standing up, and I was waiting for God to help me, whatever I was going to say, and he said what he said. And he ran it through me with him. That was just an amazing feeling. I won't ever forget that day. That was just amazing to me how God worked through me that day. And however he did it, he done it in a way that I would not slip it out, I guess, the wrong way. But he done however he did. And when I got called to preach that day, that's how he worked through me that way. And I was close with God. And I believe God can help me today in this very moment. I might be making a mess of myself, but this is what God's got on my heart. And I've been studying this for a while. And I'm still making a mess of it. And like TJ said, the devil will make you think God knows what. And I hear this all the time while we're working. The devil will make you make it sound really good, or you make it sound really bad. And devil, he'll get on you. He'll stay on you too if you let him. But anyways, back to this. And so they seen these people here, and they was already scared to death. You just imagine what these people had gone through getting here. All the torment and just the Egyptians and the Pharaoh, the slaves, you know, and seeing all these just plagues. And they went through a whole lot. And now they come up on this city that they see, and they're greater than they are. I don't know how they felt. But I have gone astray from God. I have left him. He's never left me. But I have left him. And I know that feeling of going up something scary and backing down from it. And I know God's beside me. We're going to keep on reading. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives or children should be a prey? Y'all listen to this right here. I don't know about y'all, but the day I got down in them woods and prayed to God, I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to all that mess and all that stuff I did. I don't want to go back. Now here's what the children of Israel said. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They would have rather went back to Egypt and been slaves and got whipped and God knows what than to listen to God and go forward. Children, is it not easier to listen to parents saying, don't do that? Or is it easier doing it and then getting that belt or the switch or the punishment after? You will have consequences. Instead of lying, you're sitting there right now, whoever it is, lost. If you're lost, you're sitting there right now disobeying God. God is drawing you with every intention for you to come up here or sit there or as in on your knees, whatever you need to do, pray to God. You're sitting there and you're lying to him. You're lying to him. No, I'm not lost, Lord. I ain't lost. I'm not lost. You're lying to him. And God knows you're lying. You know who the father of all lies are? The devil. The devil is sitting there tempting you with every bit of whatever he can. If you just sit there long enough, it'd be over with and we can go to Barry Lisa's. If you sit there long enough, they'll leave me alone and I ain't got to do nothing. The longer you sit there, the longer you got to worry about being saved. And I mean that as in the hours until the time Jesus comes back. How bad does that hurt? I know it hurts. I don't want to be there. I never want to be there. And I don't never want to go back to that. And I won't never go back to that. I've been saved. But that feeling of sitting there and God drawing you. And you know what you need to do. You know. But you're sitting there lying to God. You're telling him, I ain't lost. I'd done that back there. When this church wasn't there, it was part of that back there. Brother, he preached here. Lives on Coleytown. Yep, Tom Carter. He come back there, and I remember when the benches were the older benches. I remember that part. And he come back there and looked at me, and he said, Dusty, you lost. And I heard the word. I listened to the preacher, and I knew it before he even said anything. He walked back there, and I already knew what he was going to ask me. And I knew I was already lost before he asked me. And what did I say to him? Nope, sure ain't. I ain't lost. I'm so thankful, however many years that was, that God allowed me enough years to get saved back there. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? I tell you what might happen. Let me tell y'all something here. Whew. James 3. Sorry, I take that back. James chapter 4. Listen to this. This is what about tomorrow is in your life. Not what might happen. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city. Now that means, well, tomorrow we're going to come to church in the morning. Or tonight we're going to come to church. Well, are you sure about that? And continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And he's sitting here talking. He's telling these ones, you're going to think that you're going to go out here in this world and you're going to go tomorrow or the next day and the next year. What are you going to have planned in the next year? I'm hoping to come up here on this pretty old hillside with my mama. Will I ever get it? I sure don't know. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Listen, children, what is your life? Brother Jeff preached a beautiful sermon out here on your end. What's your end? What is it? Do you know what's going to happen? Do you know what tomorrow brings you? What if you do get 40-year-old or 50-year-old? Will you be saved? Do you know if you're going to be saved then? Why not now when it's so much easier at 15? 20 is getting kind of up there in the years. Jesus says to be humble as a child. Yeah. I believe, seriously, the younger you are, it's a lot easier because you're a lot closer with a God that you know of, and you're not out there in this world doing knows what, who knows what. It can be hard, can't it, TJ? You said you were saved when? 15-year-old. Look at his son. How old's he? 7-year-old, been saved. It was probably a little bit harder thinking of, well, I got friends I don't want to walk up here in front of. I got people, or if I do this, they'll make fun of me. Nobody's going to make fun of you. If they make fun of you, they might need to be up here with you. But tomorrow, we just don't know what tomorrow is. And that's something serious, y'all. I went, y'all listen to this. This is so pitiful. I went to that friend's house of mine that lost his two babies and his wife. And when I pulled up there to his house, you know what the first thing I seen? Three little snowmen. He built three little snowmen, and three kids did. On that beautiful snow day that we didn't know we was going to have. I didn't know it was going to come a blizzard. If I did, I'd left my trucks up here in Lafayette, and I'd got to work some, but I didn't even do that. I left them at the house. Roads are icy. I didn't even get to work for 2 weeks. But they had three little snowmen who got to go outside the next day and play in the snow. Did y'all go outside and play in the snow, ride them sleds? We did, didn't we, Paisley? Them two little babies didn't get to. I'm not sure how old they are, but I guarantee you when they put down their iPhones or they put down their PlayStation controllers and when they turned the TV off, they thought they was going to get up the next morning. They thought they was going to get out and play in that snow. Mama thought she was going to get out, play in that snow with them three little babies and have fun. But what happened? They didn't. There wasn't no playing in the snow. There wasn't no getting up with your babies and feeding the babies. I come home squalling. I squalled all day, taking my babies and cooking them. How about you take them for granted? I come home and I changed out the plugs in my house because it's 80-something year old. I don't know how old the house is, but My daddy wasn't the greatest electrician. I got half a house electrician, half that don't. I do. But it's a roof over my head. It's a place to lay my head and pray. It's a place for my babies to stay. But I never, ever thought about how God can take my babies away from me. Like that. They didn't get up and get to play no more. They didn't get up and play in the snow. Y'all think about that. They went to bed that night knowing they was going to get up the next morning. And they had a house fire. Can you imagine how hot that fire was? You just imagine the pain that they had that night in that house. Nobody got to see that pain because the husband and this other boy was outside. You just imagine that pain. You imagine the screaming and the wailing like he talked about last night. That screaming. What is hell going to be like? Your home if you don't do nothing about it. Them little kids didn't get up to go play. They did not get to see them snowmen in the morning. This is serious. If you've not been saved by the grace of God, you need to do something about it. If you're not lost, thank God. But one day you're going to be, or until God comes back. But if you're lost and sitting there on your edge of your seat and God drawing at you, telling you to do something, God's telling you to do this. Would you not want it today? Would you not want to be up here or there praying to God to have that wonderful peace and joy in your heart? I'd never take $1 million from mine. So glad I got to go back there that night playing with them Hot Wheels because my mama said not to. Dusty, you sit over there, and it's about where Jake was now. You sit there and don't move while I come up here. And there was about four or five here and there and everywhere under the bench. Over there, it was a lot of. And here come my brother-in-law, Chad. And then here comes James McCabe walking back there in the back. And what did I do? Oh, gosh, here they come. Lord mercy, all right, well, they're going to ask me. Of course they're going to ask me. Of course we're going to ask you if it's on our hearts. Why wouldn't we want to ask you? It's something so beautiful and so serious that God give it to us to show y'all the inheritance, what we can give to the ones below us, the ones younger than us. This is what we're all about, serving God and being saved. Why not want it today? I don't know why you sit there. I sit there for a little bit. But when they got to talking to me, Dusty, don't you want to be saved? Well, yeah, I do. And then it come on to me. I got to do something about it. So I got down and started praying. And when I started praying, I didn't feel nothing. I squalled and cried and squalled and cried and still didn't feel nothing. Talking and praying and everything. And I got Chad in the bathroom and I said, what am I getting? What does it feel like? I ain't got nothing yet. Well, that's the only thing I know to tell you is peace. You'll know when you get it. And it's hard to describe, but you'll know it when you get it. I come back in there and sit down, and I sit there and prayed for a little bit. And like I said, it's so hard for me to believe God could do this. And the Bible, all throughout the Bible, plainly says to believe in God. Believe in him and he'll save you. John 3:16 says, believe in him. He gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him. So I believed in him with all my heart. And my mama and daddy was out of the picture. Daddy wasn't even here that night. Everybody else was out of the picture. I didn't have a care in the world. Didn't care nothing about them Hot Wheels. And I started to raise up and tell everybody in this little bitty voice. This is my testimony now. Just like he said and learned last night about a father voice. This wasn't a good voice to me. It was a voice saying, well, just get up and tell everybody you're all right. And that voice right there is the one that goes, oh, you can do that even though mama don't know about it. Or even because mom and daddy said no, just do it anyway. That's that little voice that I had. That was the mean voice. You don't want to listen to that voice. That's the devil talking to you. And so I started to raise up. And I raised my hand up off my arm. Not even 2 inches. And when I raised up, I started to say, I'm saved. Y'all forgive me. I worked in the woods this week with a bobcat and dirt and dust and tree dust, just everything. I was just all over the place in my head. But I started to raise up. When I raised up, I started to say I was saved. And it was just a small, still voice, just like Larry said, like a father figure voice. It said, "You better not." And when my daddy talked to me, mama whooped me. But it's just something about a daddy, boys, that you really listen to. And I see that in my own kids. Brooke does her job, whoops some kids. I see it all the time. Beautiful mama. Sometimes when Noah gets on, he does it to me too over here. I'll tell him to hush, he just keep on mama, 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 and just on and on and on. And when I really get on him, at home especially, he'll quit. He might go back to it later, but he'll listen. And I heard that voice, and it said, "You better not." And I listened to that voice, and I set my head back down. And I didn't say nothing. I didn't say anything, but I put my head back down because I listened. And I believed with God all my heart that he would save me. And when I put my arm back down, you talking about peace in my heart. It was so special to me that I could jump off that altar and fly. That's how I felt. That's my own feeling. But while I sit there today, not doing something about it is what I'm getting at today. So this next part of this verse in chapter 4 in James 14. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" Y'all listen to this, young'uns. Listen real closely to this. "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away." A little vapor. Have y'all ever seen any mist from a water spout? Or you see them vapors that people smoke nowadays. And they blow it out. It's gone. It's gone. Your life, what is it worth to you? Is it worth getting on them knees? Is it worth asking God to save you? What are we going to do today? Or are you more worried about what we're doing after church? Well, I tell you what, who knows what we're doing after church? Is God going to come back on the cloud of glory? Who knows? But one more little thing here. I read this morning, and y'all really listen to this. And this is out of Revelations, and it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." Jesus died on the cross for us so we can be born again. He died on the cross for us so we can be saved and to be in heaven with him. He gave us another chance. You know, Jesus didn't have to do that. On that cross, and all them other times, even when he got tempted by the devil 3 times in a row, devil told him, "Well, if you'll just do this, and listen to me," he said, "No." And Jesus, and the last one, I think he was standing on the top of the mountain. I think it's where the devil took him, I believe that's where it was. But he said, "If you can just let them angels come and get you and put you down, you can have the whole entire world." I think that's how it went. Don't get me wrong. I'm sorry if it is. But what I'm getting at is Jesus could have easily said, "Up on that cross, come get me, angels. Lord, get me off this cross. He could have easily said that, but he didn't. He willfully done that just for me and you. And I've heard this a million times, and it really just come on to me. I love working with that man back there with all my heart. I love waking up in the morning just because he gets me closer to God every morning. All day long we talk about something that's got to do with the Bible, Jesus, God, just little bitty things that I don't even realize. But he come there that morning, and we went to go to Gallatin to get some stuff because we had to repair a porch out that we broke. And he said, Dusty, he said, you know, Jesus was guilty. I said, what? What do you mean guilty? He said he was guilty. And I said, all right. Well, he started looking up his song, and it was a beautiful song. He was guilty for loving me. He was guilty for loving me enough to die on that cross, to stay up there on that cross, and to not get down. Get stabbed on the cross, nailed to the cross, wore thorns on that cross, all for me, by all the testimonies I hear for y'all, but I know for me, he died on that cross for me. This one man that loved you, that he was guilty for loving you, that was the only thing that this man was guilty of loving you to die on that cross. That's amazing, ain't it? The only thing, how many people's been guilty of more than that? Yeah. How many children's been guilty of lying, doing things you're not supposed to do? I'll put two hands up for that. You better believe it. He was guilty of one thing, love. And he died because he loved you. This man died. Has anybody had anybody die for them? I ain't. One man. But it's really hard to realize that. All you cops and you firemen and, you know, all them, they go and risk their lives for people. They ain't had to risk their lives for me personally, but I know they have. But Jesus died for us. He did. And he done that because he loved us. And he loves you this morning. And he don't want you sitting there worrying, contemplating on what you're going to do, not listening to God when it's knocking on your heart to do something about your soul. He loves you. Amen. He loves all of us that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, for us to be saved. So what is your life worth today? Is it worth going home? Not doing what you're supposed to do, asking God to forgive you and to be saved. That song, I listened to that song this morning, talking about the beggar and the king, how hard it is to believe. It's really hard to believe. It really is, but anyways, let me keep reading here. And when I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, the books were opened, and another book was opened. I'm in this book, which is the book of life. Are you in that book? I am. Woo! And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I'm going to see that day too. And I'm going to get judged for it. And I'm going to get paid for all my sins. I'm going to get that. But I'll have a soul that's going to go up there with Jesus one of these days. In my new body. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell. Now listen, death and hell. If you ain't been saved today and you die and today, tomorrow, if you ain't been saved, if tomorrow comes, you'll die. And if you ain't been saved, you will go to a devil's hell. and death and hell, which will be you, lost sinner, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That house got hot up there on that hill, right beside the snowmen, that their front end of the car was burned all to pieces. And it was about from me to the water tank back there. That's how hot that house got. You imagine how hot that fire is. That lake of fire. A lake of water sounds pretty good in the summertime, don't it? I don't know how about a lake of fire would feel. But sinners, lost sinners, you better be looking. Because he comes in a thief of the night. Not even the angels in heaven will know. The ones beside of him don't even know. And they up are with him. I don't know. Jeff don't know. Nobody knows. But I do know one thing. I am saved by God's grace. And I don't have to worry about when he comes back. Thank God he's going to come back for me. So thankful today I've been saved. Well, that's about it. And I know I made a probably mess of things. And it was a little scattered, but that's what God had on my heart. And